Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. This week was challenging as I sought to determine exactly what it was, where it was God wanted me to preach from this morning. And it was one of those weeks, I was telling John this morning that it was one of those weeks where I really like to have stuff figured out by Sunday night where I'm going, but that didn't really happen until Tuesday. And yet, I have been deeply impacted by God's sovereignty and his ability to speak clearly through this passage we're going to be in this morning. And it's something that at the heart of who we are, the core of our being, impacts each and every one of us, whether we recognize it or not. It's an aspect of both our personal life as well as our walk of faith that often we don't step back and really process through to ask the question, where am I at? What is my focus? Who am I? Where am I going? And the reality is, oftentimes we avoid this question, we avoid coming to this place because it overwhelms us. It gets overwhelming. We start asking questions and looking internally at who we are, at what we're becoming. And sometimes we don't necessarily like what we see. And so comes this process, and it's really a discipline of self-evaluation and seeking to understand, why am I who I am? Oftentimes when I meet with individuals, I like to ask people, if your life was represented by the gauges on a car, where would you say you were at? And oftentimes I like to ask this question with the illustration of even maybe it's just a fuel gauge. And maybe it's just a fuel gauge and you're, where are you emotionally? Where are you physically? Where are you spiritually? Are you full? Are you closer to empty? Are you, well, I don't allow midway because that's a non-answer. And then the follow-up question is, are you filling or are you depleting, whatever that is? But another way to look at that is to answer this question, what warning lights are going off in your life right now? Now, most of you will recognize these. And if you don't, then if you see one of these, stop what you're doing and figure out what it means. Okay? Some of you have experienced moments when you're driving along and one of these comes on. And for most of you, at least my hope would be that it produces in you a reaction that it's meant to produce. That's why it's there. The warning lights are not just there for show and tell. They're there to communicate to you that you need to take action. Something is wrong, and you need to figure out what it is and figure out what I need to do to fix it. Now, some are easier than others. Obviously, this one on the far right has a simple solution. You need to go to the gas station. You need to fuel up. And yet, the same is true with the one on the left. Power up. You're not getting enough power. Your battery's dying. But sometimes the light can reveal a symptom of a deeper problem. A symptom of a problem that isn't necessarily easily identified or solved. And yet, when we don't have a simple solution, so often we discard it and try to keep going. and yet the warning lights keep going off. Oftentimes in our lives, we have multiple warning lights going off at the same time, and we fail to recognize and diagnose those warning lights, leading us to break down or quit altogether. But what causes me to reach that point? How do I keep from ending up in a broken down state in the first place? And this morning, there's really one main concept I want to communicate with you. There's one main idea. So you leave here today and you get this one main thing. That's my prayer. And that one main thing, our main idea, the big idea that I want to communicate this morning is that what you say, what you think, and what you do are all reflections of what you are. And we're gonna open that up and evaluate that and go into more detail about that. But if nothing else this morning, I want you to leave here with this simple diagnostic tool. And you'll understand why this is significant by the end of today. But to be able to understand and know that what I say, what I think, and what I do are all reflections of what I am. And it's impossible for me to accurately diagnose where I'm at without first understanding what I am. And so we're gonna read this verse in Proverbs this morning, and then we're gonna pray and commit this time to God's voice being able to speak clearly to the condition of our hearts. And prayerfully, you're going to understand this statement a lot more by the end of today. So if you'd stand with me in honor of God's word, we're just going to read one verse this morning. Verse 23 in Proverbs chapter 4. Says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Father, as we look at just this one verse this morning, I pray that you would challenge us. Lord, that you would reveal the depth of who we are, that you would help us to understand the importance of understanding this. And Lord, ultimately, that we would leave here today with a greater sense of how we recognize those warning lights that are going off, and Lord, what we do about them. And so we commit this time to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, within this, there's really two main thoughts here. And I'm going to keep it really simple this morning because my prayer is that this would not be complicated, that this would be a simple set of tools for you to use to accurately diagnose what's going on so that you can move through and past this and God can use us to grow and shape you instead of remaining stuck. And the first one is the question of what? What is this saying? And it's in the first part of this verse, keep your heart with all vigilance. Now, some of you may have a translation that says, above all else, guard your heart. Or watch over your heart. And it all communicates the same concept. It all communicates the same idea. The principle here is one that is saying, keep an eye on the heart. Keep an eye, guard the heart. Watch over the heart. There's no, and I love this about Scripture, because there's no complication in trying to understand what this is trying to communicate. It is simply saying, you need to keep an eye on this. You need to watch this and watch it closely. Literally, you need to set up strongholds around this. To set up spiritual strongholds around yourself. Now, we're not talking here about the physical heart. So you might be going, well, what are you talking about? If you're not talking about the physical heart, though you need to keep an eye on that too. I'm not dissuading that, okay? I'm not discrediting that. Now, it's interesting. A Reader's Digest article offered kind of an amusing analysis of some of the dieting trends affecting our culture. And this article said, the Japanese eat little fat and suffer fewer heart problems than Americans or the British. The French eat a lot of fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the U.S. or Britain. The Italians drink a lot of red wine and have lower risk of heart problems than their Western neighbors. What can we conclude from these facts? You can eat whatever you want, but speaking English will kill you. Yeah, note that one down. No, the principle here, really what you... When we think about this, it's understanding the reality that guarding your heart is more about feeding your soul than it is about avoiding sin. Now, I want to clarify that in our understanding that when our heart is strong, we're able to resist temptations that cause many saints to stumble. That is, when we understand the reality of this, we can often look at the condition of who we are and we end up looking outside of ourselves and blaming everything else around us and saying, this is the reason for our issues. This is the reason. And yet, the call here to keep your heart, to watch over your heart with all vigilance, is because this part of you has such a profound impact on who and what you are. Now, it still doesn't answer the question, what is the heart? And so the simplest definition I could come up with to think about what is this speaking of when it says guard the heart, it is the causal core of a human being's personhood. It is the causal center of a human being's personhood, the causal core that is at the core of who you are and why you make the decisions you make, this takes charge. It is literally the control center for everything that makes you, you. Now that changes things quite a bit. When we step away from this idea of reading this as guarding your physical heart to guarding what and who you are. And all of a sudden that opens up a depth more for us to think about and process than just thinking about caring for ourselves physically. If this, at the core of this, is if this is impacting everything I do, everything that I am, and I'm giving no effort, no amount of time, no amount of energy to guarding this, then should I be surprised when I'm led into things that are not in accordance with what God desires? Where this becomes the most impactful is when you realize that your behavior is more shaped by what is inside of you than what is outside of you. An example of where this might become the most challenging is for those of you who are parents. I want to speak directly to you in this statement because it's something my wife and I have both been learning right now, and that is the reality that your children's response to your parenting is a reflection of their heart, not their environment. I want you to think about that a minute. Your children's response, and this could go beyond your parenting, this could go beyond your home. Your children's response to what they encounter is more a reflection of their heart than it is their environment. Now, in the same way, with this illustration, the way you parent is not a reflection of your kids, but a reflection of your heart. You see, when we step back and understand this call to keep your heart with all vigilance, to actively guard your heart, we have to ask ourselves the question, why is that? And we're going to step into that in more detail, but to think about the impact that this has on everything else I do should cause me to step back and evaluate, why am I responding the way I'm responding? Why am I thinking the way I'm thinking? Why am I the way I am? It should cause us to look in depth at this causal core rather than being distracted by everything else outside and going, it's because of our politics that everything's this way, or it's because of this next generation that everything's this way, or it's because people in the church aren't doing what they're supposed to, things are this way. It's because we have a heart condition. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects the man. That's in the same way that when you stare into a clear pool and you see your reflection, so the heart of a person reveals the person. We know from Romans chapter 3, there is how many righteous? There's none. There's none righteous. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's none. The reality of this, there's no one righteous, no, not one. And it goes on after that, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But see, oftentimes we can quote those verses, we think about those passages, but do we really process and understand what that's saying about me? You see, this passage, we use it when we share the gospel, but do I recognize this in my own life today? Do I recognize the warning signs saying, whoa, whoa, there's none righteous? Whoa, all have sinned. You have sinned. I have sinned. My heart condition is one that's sinful. I'm prone to pull towards this. You see, when I see that warning sign in God's word, when I see God communicating, hey, 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 heads up, keep this alert, keep this in mind, then it brings me to a place where I'm going, okay, I need to keep my heart, I need to guard my heart with all vigilance. Or if your translation says, above all else, focus on this because it's the causal core. We as individuals have to stop blaming outside sources for our bad behavior or decisions. What you say, what you think, and what you do are all reflections of what you are. But why guard it against these things? Why do all this? And this is the question when I meet with our youth group kids, I always say, it's always important to ask, why should I do this? Why? And maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying to yourself, I know this about myself, but what is significant here about guarding the core of who I am? What is significant about that? Why should I do that? And that's the second part of this verse. For from it flows the springs of life. Some of your translations might say, for from it flows all the issues of life. And the illustration here is one that from this causal core of who you are springs forth everything else about who and what you are. From the core of your personhood literally flows every other thing within your life. The decisions you make, the emotions you feel, the words you say. Have you ever been in a situation where you just kind of blurted out something and then you go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. What you really should say is, oh, I'm sorry for saying what I really meant. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, when that kind of thing happens, it should cause us to go, wait a minute, that is a warning light speaking specifically directly to who I am. Not to the circumstance I'm in, because I can choose to respond to this circumstance much differently than I just did. We see this illustrated by the example, some of you took the marriage course that we did in Sunday school or attended the family camp we were at, and the example that's given where you're arguing back and forth, fighting with your spouse, and then the phone rings, and you go, hello? Oh yeah, I'll be there at 6. Sounds good. And then you're back at it again, okay? And the reality that's revealed there is that we have a heart issue. And unless we step into that and say, I have got to guard this, I have got to keep this with all vigilance because from it flows everything else that I do. The core of who I am is in desperate need of intentional direction. Because without that, I'm just prone to do whatever my heart decides it's going to do. So what happens when we fail to guard our heart? First thing, we're deceived. Many of you may have been thinking of this passage and some of the things I've been saying. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And what I love about this passage, you cannot... I don't believe you could separate 9 and 10 because it gives hope in the sight of that, because the only person who can truly understand the depths of who we are is God himself. And when we understand that, all of a sudden, his grace and his faithfulness through Jesus become so much more precious. Because when we understand that God knows the condition of my heart far beyond anything I could understand, that he understands and knows that I am so filled with wickedness within the core of my personhood, then all of a sudden, his sacrifice of his son on all of our behalf should cause us to step back and go, whoa. How much more motivation for me to guard what's been entrusted to me. Just before that, in verses 7 and 8, in Jeremiah 17, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. And I love this illustration. He says, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. What a beautiful picture. and you're looking for a practical application of how do I guard this? How do I keep this? Blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. Because the person whose trust is the Lord, their roots extend not just beside into the stream. So that even when drought comes, even when trial comes, even when seasons of darkness come, there's no doubt. Because I know where the core of who I am looks. What else happens when we fail to guard our hearts? Our emotions run our life. And I think this is probably the most consistent thing we see and recognize. And if you haven't already recognized this, I would hope that you would pray and analyze and look at the damage that can happen when we let our emotions drive us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, 5 and 6 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. I want to hone in there on this idea of do not lean on your own understanding. This is the part that gets us into trouble because the core of who I am tells me I've got this figured out. The core of who I am will consistently come back and say, you can do this. And yet the truth of what we understand from Scripture is that my heart, the core of who I am, is so deceitful that when left unchecked, it will take over and run. Now, some of you may be experiencing this today, where you just feel like you are on an emotional roller coaster. And that's what our emotions do. As they take us, they spin us around, throw us up in the air, and spit us back out again, and we're going, where do I go from here? Guard your heart. Keep it from entering into a place where you're letting anything except what God has called you to and his truth and what he desires for your life. Because if we go back to Jeremiah 17, who can understand this? Who can understand these things? God does. He created you. He understands the core of who you are. He understands why you struggle with what you struggle with, and yet he loves you to the point that he sent his son to die for you so that you could have freedom from this. What else happens when we fail to guard our heart? Thirdly, our fruit starts to rot. Mark 7 has quite the list here of what the condition of a person's heart is. He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, the core personhood, okay, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from where? From within, and they defile a person. Now, we see these things present today. These aspects of humanity extend beyond borders. They extend beyond cultures. They exist all over the world. And yet, oftentimes, we rush to blame anything else aside from the heart of people, the core central system that dictates who I am and what I do. See, when we fail to guard, when we fail to put up strongholds, these things show themselves. And some of you might be going, well, I've never murdered someone. Well, Jesus said, if you say to your brother, Raca, you fool, or you idiot, you've committed murder in your heart. Well, I've been married to my wife. I've been faithful to her. Well, Jesus said, any of you that looks at another person lustfully has already committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever slandered someone? Have you ever reacted out of pride? You see, when we start looking at this, all of a sudden, we realize that when I am not actively guarding who I am, my true self reveals. The true condition of my heart comes forth. And it should cause us to realize all the more why we need a Savior. Because there's none righteous, not one. From the core of my personhood flows everything else. Jesus spoke specifically about this to the Pharisees. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Apart from Jesus, we're destined to bring forth wickedness. We're destined to bring forth evil. And you might be recognizing, saying, I know a lot of good people who are not saved. Good by whose standard? Good by the external, the outside. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. That's why Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Because externally they revealed something, yet internally they were full of dead man's bones. The heart of the person, the core, reveals true personhood. Jesus gives this illustration in Matthew 23. He says, you blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Have you ever tried this? If not, go home, try it, okay? Go home, take a really dirty dish and wash the inside and see if the outside miraculously becomes clean. Spoiler, it won't happen, okay? It's not gonna happen. Yet, it's exactly what God calls us to within our walk of faith. And yet, why do you think he brings this up? He brings this up because so often we're so focused on the external that we completely forget about what's going on inside of me. The heart of who I am. And yet, if I start working to clean up what's inside, if I start guarding this with all vigilance because I recognize that from it flows the springs of life, then all of a sudden there's going to start to be some subtle changes in who I am. There's going to start to be some subtle changes in the external because the internal is being guarded. Unless we take seriously the call to guard the core of who we are and make sure it is in check with what God desires, we are destined to lose track of where and who we are. What you say, what you think, and what you do are all reflections of what you are. So what warning signs are going off on your dash right now? What warning signs are flashing in your face that you are shoving aside and pushing away? What warning signals Is your heart trying to communicate with you and saying, this needs a solution. This needs attention. Some of you might be going, I don't know what those warning signs might look like. Here's a starter list for you. Fear. Anger. Greed. Pride. Self-pity. Resentment. Cowardice. Hard thoughts about God. Or maybe just going through the motions. I'm just doing this because it's what I got to do. There's a lot more we could add to this. Are these flashing? Are any of these consistent in your life? Because that's a warning sign. It's a warning sign saying, deal with this soon or there's going to be bigger issues. If this is allowed to continue, it's going to cause more problems. It's interesting, nuclear submarines consist of some of the most amazing technology on the planet. And these incredible military vessels can stay underwater for 90 days. And this was taken from a book article. But every 90 days, the submarine must resurface to maintain proper alignment with the North Star. While underwater, the submarine's navigational system is affected by the Earth's magnetic forces. Because these submarines carry missiles of mass destruction, they must pay close attention to keeping the navigational equipment aligned to the true reference point of the North Star. The nuclear submarine provides an excellent picture of our heart. Just as the submarine may have enough physical provisions like food, water, or fuel to survive, it cannot perform at its highest level or complete its mission without maintaining proper alignment with the true reference point. Your heart is the navigational equipment of your life. It must stay aligned with God. By guarding your heart, you stay locked on to God's will and the wellspring of life. Maybe you're here today and you don't know how to guard your heart. You don't even know how to realign yourself. Maybe you're here today and you know where to go. You know what you need to do. But you've been procrastinating diagnosing those warning lights for fear of what else might come up. As you think about that today, I want you to evaluate what God's calling you to look at. What is he revealing? What is he revealing in your life? And I want that to be the catalyst that brings us into our remembrance of what Christ has done. Because you see, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of everything else that's taking place in my life, there is a constant that I can look to. And yet we choose not to. See, when we come to this communion table once a month, this can easily become going through the motions. Or it can become transformational as we process and think about the reality of what this means. Because see, when we see this here, it should automatically bring us to a place where we're evaluating those warning lights. And we're going, have I realigned myself with my Savior? Have I refocused my attentions? Or am I completely distracted? Am I putting this stuff off because I really don't want to deal with it? And you see, as we seek to guard our heart, as we seek to understand, why am I who I am? Why do I react the way I react? And we understand the reality that that reveals about the fact that I cannot save myself. God steps in and he says, I got this. I got this. So I'm going to ask the men to come forward who are asked to help serve communion. And as they come forward, I want you to just take a minute and think about these warning lights. And I'm going to leave these up here. If there's one of these that you're wrestling with this morning, I want you to think through, how do I diagnose this? How do I bring this into a focus? And then we're going to take communion together and seek to realign ourselves as we remember what Jesus has done for all of us. So let's just take a minute and process through this and think about this. Father, as we come to you today, we come in recognition of our inability to do this on our own. Father, we recognize our desperate need for salvation. Lord, as we evaluate the warning lights that are going off in our lives, some of which have been going off for far too long, we've seen the damage it's caused. Yet this morning, Father, we have an opportunity to set a new course. As we come to your table today, Father, may we be reminded of the sacrifice that was given, the cost that was paid, so that we might be free from this bondage that we put ourselves in and experience life. Father, may we experience a renewal this morning, a renewal of our faith in the sense of refocusing on you. Lord, that you would use that to your glory to accomplish your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.